despite some positive things happening last week and this weekend with the Red Sox sweeping the Texas Rangers, they fall to the Tampa Bay Rays as the bullpen blows it once again.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to welcome you back into a Locked On Red Sox podcast, and thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider and Woo Sox production assistant, Jake Ignaszewski, and here, as always, with Nesson's Lauren Willand. But you know, we got a lot to talk about. You know, it was a very positive way for the Red Sox to go about the Texas Rangers series, sweeping them, even though, you know, some of those games were a little bit close. But, you know, now we got Tristan Casas up, we got Connor Wong up, some of the future getting ready for 2023. But boy, was it tough to see how everything unfolded on Labor Day against the Tampa Bay Rays. But Lauren, how are you feeling with, you know, what you saw against the Rangers and, you know, with some optimism happening with some of the future coming up?
Yeah, I talked about this on Monday's episode that it was good to see the Red Sox take advantage of a bad team like the Texas Rangers, a team that they need to beat up on, a team that they need to beat. And it was really good to see that the offense come alive in the first two games. And it was disappointing that they couldn't carry that momentum over into Monday. They had the lead. They let it go in the eighth. It's that bullpen, the Achilles heel all season, most of the season. The offense did struggle a lot at the beginning of the season. But it was really positive to see, a really positive weekend for the Red Sox, just to kind of end the long weekend on a sour note.
And I think it was really cool to, you know, get a first taste of Tristan Casas as first base. You know, it really showed why, you know, the AAA managers unanimously voted him as the best defensive first baseman. Really nice to see to have some consistent defense over there at the hot corner. And especially being able to, you know, see a little bit of a glimpse of his pregame routine. You know, I've seen it in Worcester, you know, him out there, you know, sunbathing before the game, you know, going out there, walking around in bare feet. But I thought it was pretty interesting to see the reaction, not only from the Red Sox media, but some fans as well.
It's funny because Adam Ottavino did something very similar when he was here with the Red Sox. He was, you know, very big into the earthing thing. And I think because when Casas does it, that is a big boy. That is a very large human being. And I think when he does it, it's just like, this is an athlete. This is he's just so large. Like that, like it's, his size is incredible. And to see like how good he can be at first base, we saw in Worcester how good he is at first base and how well he can move. And it's fun to see that kind of routine, cause I'm always interested in guys' pregame routine, is if there's some sort of superstition there. Like some play cards, some just don't really have a routine, but Casas likes to go out and just kind of sunbathe, take in the dirt and the earth there. So it's really interesting. And he said he doesn't like caffeine. I don't know how people can live without caffeine, as a caffeine addict myself. So he just takes it all in with like the natural earth energy. It's really interesting. And it's fun to see too, just because like I said, I love seeing those pregame routines, and to see him so composed and like very conscious about what he says and who he is and how he does things is also really, really fascinating.
Yeah, I don't get the caffeine thing either, but it's really cool, like you mentioned, to see the maturity of a guy like Tristan Casas, who is still very young. And, you know, even though, you know, the first hit was not maybe how he expected, it was a booted ball over there at shortstop. You know, it was nice to see him get that first hit under his belt. And, you know, we saw on Monday some struggles with some calls. You know, we saw a few times not agreeing with some of the strike three calls, ended up striking out looking. I think one of the last ones, he ended up flipping his bat and, you know, thinking that was a walk. And that's something that, you know, happens not only in AAA, but the majors as well. There's going to be some of those inconsistent calls. And, you know, you got to be able to know the zone and also be able to protect, especially in a 3-2 count like that, where we saw what happened on Monday.
Yeah, I thought, and more specifically the last time he struck out looking, I thought that was a good pitch. I thought he should have swung at that. And that's part of the growing pains, is becoming a major leaguer and becoming more aware of your plate patients. I think he does have plenty of plate patients. And, you know, he looked back at the ump, he said something probably like, was that low? And, or like, was that, I don't know what he said, but you know, he walked away, whatever. You got to say, we have to say respectfully so you don't get thrown out. But those are pitches that, you know, you look back and that's something you just have to swing at. And that was very much in the strike zone, his last strike three call. But these are, you know, these are things he's going to go through. These are things that everyone, every rookie, every prospect is going to go through, these kinds of growing pains and learning experiences. And it's game two for Casas. It's game two out of what will probably be a very lengthy career, MLB career for him. So there's going to be strikeouts. He can't hit lefties and it's, he's going to be fine. It's like I said, it's game two. There's no need to hit that panic button.
It's a great point because, you know, we've already been seeing some people on Red Sox Twitter hitting that panic button. And that's something that really frustrates me because Cass's situation is very similar to Duran last year. Fans were harping all season long. Get Cassis up. You know, he's the savior of this team. And we talked about it throughout the season. You can't put the pressure on that type of guy to where you call him up and automatically the Red Sox are a playoff team. You just can't do that for a guy who's that young. Yes, he has the talent, but he's not going to carry a team like the Red Sox. And, you know, I hate seeing after eight up-at-bats fans saying, you know, this isn't what we expected. Send him back down to Worcester. Obviously, that's not the whole consensus of Red Sox Twitter, but it's a small portion of it. And that's something that really frustrates me that fans need to get used to, especially with the new regime of Chaim Bloom, bringing up some of these younger players and, you know, putting them in situations where they really need to develop and learn how to be a major league player is you got to be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day, and you need to be able to allow these guys go through these struggles, develop, and that's really what developmental stuff is all about. You can't be, you know, hitting 1,000 every single game. You got to go through those struggles and be able to understand how to overcome adversity.
And I understand why Red Sox fans are impatient and why Boston fans as a whole want instant results. I 100% understand. And they've waited very long for Casas to be called up, and they've waited very long for him to be in a Red Sox uniform. But like I just said, it's game two. There's going to be learning experiences. There's going to be bad calls, bad plays, pitches he should have swung at, balls he should have got at first base. And it's just, you wanted him here. He's here. He's going to play first base for most of the rest of the season. So he's going to have plenty of reps for the rest of the year. He's going to have a full spring training with the Red Sox, I'd assume. And he's going to just continue to grow and develop. He's what, 22, 23 years old. Like, and he dealt with that ankle sprain for most of this season. Just let this kid grow into an MLB player. You were patient enough for him to get here. Be patient enough for him to grow into the player we know he's going to grow into.
Exactly. And you know, This is an example that just came off of the dome. But you know, Xander Bogaerts has had a great past few days. You know, we saw him make history, becoming the 50th player with 9 consecutive multi-hit games, and this tied for the longest streak in Red Sox history. But fans remember 2013, he wasn't a sure thing right out of the gate. You know, he took a little bit of time to get that power to be able to find consistency. And, you know, that's the same thing for, you know, you could say Cassis, Duran as well, just being able to build up that confidence. But, you know, really looking at that Monday game, Red Sox ultimately ended up falling 4-3. But as you mentioned, we're winning majority of the game. 3-2 up until the 7th when we saw Familia blow it. And how that ultimately happened was, you know, back-to-back doubles from Margot and David Peralta. One of those tied the game, and then the other one took the lead. And really frustrating, you know, as somebody who doesn't really understand why Familia is still on this MLB roster. And something where, you know, you really just need to stop having these inconsistencies and, you know, these games where you have it in the hand up until the end of the game, but then you just ultimately blow it.
Yep. And it's this bullpen. And it's funny because in the beginning of the season, we were talking about this offense and how they were not connecting with any pitch that was thrown at them. They were showing so much impatience at the plate, and the bullpen wasn't even the problem. We're like, okay, wait a second. Like, maybe we'll be able to get through this season. And May rolls around, June rolls around, July, August, now we're in September. And it's just a bunch of musical chairs in that bullpen, just kind of throwing them out there, seeing if it works. And we can continue to say that this goes back to last year, not getting proper help, not going into the season, acquiring proper help in the off season. Mm-hmm. And this just goes to show how much of a priority this bullpen needs to be going into this off season, because you lose Tanner Houck. That's unfortunate. He should be ready for spring training. Carve out a defined role for him. You have Garrett Whitlock, you have Matt Barnes, who's looking pretty good. Hopefully he can kind of carry that into 2023, but there needs to be some reliability, some stability, some good arms, some good strong arms in that bullpen, and not just a bunch of who the heck are these guys just throwing them out there. And it puts, you know, people like Zach Kelly in a bad position, who goes out there, and Familia, I still don't even know why they brought him in, but it's just like, you have no help, no depth, no help. And it's the same old song and dance that I feel like we have been singing for years, not just since last year, but years before that as well. There's no bullpen help.
It's crazy how long we've been talking about this. And you know, this is even a similar issue with the rotation. And, you know, we've seen this inconsistency, you know, throughout this season. But, you know, Familia, just the project hasn't worked out. You know, it was a nice experiment. See if, you know, they can fix some things. You know, it worked out with, you know, some people, but, you know, it's not going to work out with everybody. You know, 5.82 ERA overall with the Red Sox. But, you know, we haven't mentioned this since we've been together on the pod, but, you know, it's really nice to see a friend of the podcast, Zach Kelly, up with the Red Sox. Incredible story, a guy who was signed by the Oakland Athletics as an undrafted free agent for $500, found his way getting up to the majors. And what a way to get called up to the majors, where in the same week, you know, not only get that dream, but you also have a baby as well.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a last couple weeks in his personal life. So it's really good to see him get up here and kind of just showcase what he potentially can do for this Red Sox team. And a big congrats to him and his wife for having their baby. I think they named him Caden. I think I saw that on the Red Sox broadcast today. And a very exciting time, and probably a little bittersweet time. You know, the season is coming to an end, so he gets to come up for a little bit, but then he gets to go home and spend some quality time with his new child and his wife, and just kind of bond as a family. So he's had a great few weeks, and I'm happy to see him with the Red Sox, and he's always been super kind to us. So I'm really happy to see that. And hopefully he can continue to build, because he hasn't been awful on the mound. Could he be better? Yes, of course. This entire team could be better. But I think there's a lot of potential there.
I think so as well. And, you know, that's been, you know, one of my favorite things doing this podcast with you over almost a year or so. But it's being able to, you know, have conversations with people like Zach, and then be able to see their rise up to our favorite team. But you know, going into our second segment of this episode, we'll talk a little bit about Waka's great start on Monday. Also give a little bit of some updates on Franchi Cordero's injury, and then talk a little bit about, you know, maybe some moves that could be coming. You know, we talked about Familia, and, you know, also I know you and I both don't want Brazier on this team anymore. So who could potentially do we want called up? But we'll be talking about that in our second segment. But Lauren just wants to take a second to talk to you about Built Bar.
I feel like I haven't talked about Built Bar in a long time. And you know how much I love Built Bar. I do. And if you have not tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourselves of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. It's delicious and is indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. Built Bar has done it again. Let me introduce you to the new favorite, my new favorite, honestly, cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light, chewy texture. There's real cookie dough chunks, which is a big old weakness of mine. And of course, like every other Built Bar out there, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. So you get all the joys of eating the cookie dough without the hassle of making it. And it's healthy for you. They're only 160 calories. There's 15 grams of protein in them. And you can go to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It's a perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just kind of hoard them for yourself. If you want to hide somewhere while your kids are trying to find a good snack and you need to just some peace and quiet and eat a Built Bar, this is the perfect treat for you. The new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. So they're healthy, they're tasty. And there's that cookie dough, there's that light fluffy texture. They are so good. And what's great about Built Bar is all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. So you can eat something that tastes good and is good for you. We have an offer for you. Head on over to built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order. That's LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com.
So although there's been a lot of inconsistencies with this Red Sox team throughout this season, what's nice is there has been one consistent, fully consistent player, in my opinion, and that is Michael Wacha. And, you know, I've said this throughout this season. I was wrong at the start of the year. I said he was a waste of $7 million. I didn't understand why they signed him. But he's been the biggest surprise of this Red Sox season. And we really saw it showcased another great outing for him. Six innings strong on the mound on Monday. Continued his dominance and also threw his 1,000th career strikeout. But it's really nice to see a guy like Michael Wacha continuing his consistency on the mound, striking out seven against the Tampa Bay Rays. And in my mind, I think the Red Sox got to extend him an offer at the during this offseason. I think 2 years, $30 million in total, perfect. Even if it's $13 to $15 million a year, I think that I would be very happy to see him back in this Red Sox organization.
Yeah, I think they need to find a way to get him back. I know he's expressed interest in wanting to come back, but he's been so consistent for this Red Sox team. I mean, he missed, what, a month on the injured list, and he was still one of the team's most consistent pitchers. And he's come back since the IL. He has not missed a beat at all. He's picked up right where he's left off. Like I said, he's been consistent, he's been durable, and he's been reliable. And if you told me at the beginning of the season that I was going to be Michael Wacha, who was going to just kind of be the – not the ace, I don't want to put that title on him, but be the most consistent person in this rotation, I would tell you to go take a hike. I was like, we're not getting 2013 Michael Wacha. No, we're getting better than 2013 Michael Wacha. So it's been really, really fun to see him come into a whole new kind of pitcher and just kind of rebuild himself this year. Will he be this good next year? Who knows? But is he worth an extension and a qualifying offer? 1,000,000% yes.
And I think if you offer him $13 million or $14 million, that's doubling his salary that it was this year. And I think that's relatively fair for him. We'll see what he ultimately demands. But I think that is what the Red Sox need to keep on striving for, is finding that consistency in the rotation, so they don't keep on signing guys where, you know, we're almost biting off our fingernails, nerve-wracking about if they're actually going to blow up the game or if they're actually going to have a good outing or not. But, you know, something that was hard to see out in the outfield on Monday was Franchi Cordero injuring his right ankle. Reported that it was a sprain, but tough to see on a play that he tried to make up against the wall, ended up getting his cleats stuck in the wall and ultimately ended up twisting it a little bit, had to get carted off the field. But I'm really curious to see sort of the moves that the Red Sox make to replace Cordero on the depth chart. I saw a few people saying, you know, will they bring up Duran or Dalbec? Both of those guys, I say no. And despite, you know, Jalen Davis struggling ever since he has been sent down, he's the logical person. But, you know, if in my mind, if the 40 man wasn't in the equation and if that wasn't something that you really need to had to really think about, Alberto Almonte has been one of the most consistent guys down in Worcester since he has been traded over to the Red Sox and sent down to AAA. And I'm curious to see really what happens with these moves. But, you know, as I said, if the 40 man wasn't the equation, Almonte would be my guy.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice too. And I think no matter what happens, I think you need to leave Bobby Dalbec and Jan Duran in Worcester. I just think that, not even to send a message, but to just get them those consistent reps, figure out if they have a role on this team next year or this year. Neither one of those guys are career AAA players, but I don't think either of them have a future here. So just keep them in AAA, just figure out what comes next. Franchi, it's unfortunate. He definitely misjudged that ball. That wall is really tough. We've seen how many players it's difficult to play out there. And Rob Bradford reported that he was on crutches. He'll get the MRI on Tuesday. Alex Cora was optimistic that he didn't have ligament damage. But even if it is, maybe it's a sprain. Maybe it's – hopefully it's not a break. I would assume it's not. I feel like they would know that pretty quick. But it's unfortunate because – Franchi is someone who's really easy to root for. He was so likable in Worcester, and he's worked hard at his craft. He's terrible at first base, but, you know, he can bring the energy. We've seen it. He can bring the power. But I like the idea of Almonte. I think at this point, with where the season is and where the Red Sox are, what do you have to lose? Like, just bring the guys up who maybe haven't had a chance yet, and just see what you have. See, maybe you can have a little spark to end this season. Much like we end Locked On Red Sox on a high note, we want to end the 2022 season on a high note.
Exactly. And I think you just got to get rid of Frazier and Familia and call up Frank Harmon immediately. Like it, and it's funny because anytime he gets put in the WooSox game, I like literally look to who's ever next to me as I said, he should be in Boston right now. There's no reason why they should be wasting him down here in Worcester. I mean, he's just been getting consistent saves, consistent outs. And I think you just really got to see what you have. I mean, same thing with Zach Kelly and Caleb Wirt. See what you have. See if there's a possibility for them to fit in next year's bullpen. Is Frank Harmon a sure thing in the majors? No. But is Ryan Brazier and Familia giving you any value whatsoever? We've seen it over the last week or so. No.
We've seen it all season. Well, with Brazier, we've seen it all season. Familia, we've seen it since he got here. But yeah, I think much like Almonte, like what do you have to lose at this point? Just bring these guys up, see what you have, see if there's maybe a glimpse of a future with this, with these guys, or will they be, you know, trade chips for you to maybe get some bullpen help? Will they be the bullpen help? Not Almonte, but will like Harmon be a reliable part to this bullpen at some point? Like just, yes, the postseason technically, mathematically still is in reach, but it's probably not going to happen. Just see what you have in these guys, because you're not hurting them. You're not taking anything away from them. The season in Worcester is almost over. Let's just see. Let's take a little peek-see and see what we have with these guys.
Mine as well. And you know, this is a weird transition, but I did want to talk about that I didn't have the opportunity to talk about last week was the reports that came out from Chris Cotillo's article talking about Jaren Duran and his struggles with mental health. And you know, you and I have talked a lot about, you know, just the subject of mental health, you know, not only like in our own experiences, but also in, you know, athletes' experiences. And I got to tell you, for all the crap that, you know, me specifically has given Jaren Duran throughout his whole situation, you know, with what we saw in the majors, with, you know, what was coming out of his mouth and what was happening on the field. It's nice to see some sort of sense of awareness and a little bit of maturity that he has the awareness. He needs to speak up more and that he needs to talk about his mental struggles a little bit more. And I thought it was cool to be able to see his vulnerability, to be able to talk about that with a guy like Chris Cotillo, who he knows is probably going to write an article about it. And obviously, like, he obviously gave Chris permission to be able to write about it if Chris wrote about it, because we know Chris, friend of the program, very respectful person. But I thought it was very interesting to see that side of Jaren Duran. And ever since, you know, we've seen that article come out, ever since I've been in Worcester, even though, you know, the on-field performance hasn't improved, it seems like a very different person. He seems like he's being his true self. He doesn't really care what the outside world thinks, and he's just having fun playing baseball. And at the end of the day, that's what he said at the start of the season that he's trying to get back to.
Yeah, I think, and I mentioned this last week while you were out, that I think a lot of people missed the point of Cotillo's article and that there wasn't really excuse making. It was just Duran opening up about him needing to open up. And yes, he needs an outlet. Everyone needs an outlet, not just Jaren Duran. But he has got a lot of growing up to do. And I think as much fun as he looks like he's having, I think he just knows that the cameras are on him. He knows that article is out. And I don't know. If he's, you know, sitting there doom scrolling Twitter or Instagram and reading these comments, and it's some people, like I said, they completely missed the point of the entire article. But I think Jaren Duran knows he's got that kind of target on him. So he's going to be like, oh, okay, I look happy, even though I just smashed a bat because I struck out because I have no plate patience kind of thing. Like there's still a lot of growing up to do and there's a lot of maturing to do for him. I don't think there's a future for him in the Red Sox uniform, and that's okay. I just think he'll be better off somewhere else. But for him to be able to open up to someone, you know, that is a reporter, that isn't necessarily a friend, and him saying like, yeah, I don't talk to my family or anything. I'm like, oh my God, like, can I send you some therapist suggestions? Because right. Everyone needs that kind of outlet, especially when you are an athlete, you have all the eyes on you. And he's had tons of pressure on him since he got drafted. You know, he's had a lot of hype around him. And you know, he's old enough now, he's almost 26, and he can start to take accountability for this. And there's a lot of maturing to do if he wants to have a long, successful career in MLB. But I do think more people need to start, you know, I said this last week, that let's start a conversation out of this. This should be a good conversation starter. This shouldn't be us a conversation to rag on him and to bring him down. Like, let's talk about that he's not the only one who feels this way. There's plenty of other athletes who don't talk about their mental health, who just keep it to themselves. And they're like, okay, whatever.
And we even saw Austin Meadows talk a little bit about it, you know, last week as well. And, that's something that, you know, I thought was very saddening from when the article came out, is just the reaction of it. It was the people missing the point. And instead of, you know, realizing that he's a human being as well, who deals with the same struggles that everybody else does, they demeaned him, which is the whole issue with the stigma of mental health, specifically in sports, that you're a millionaire. You're doing exactly what everybody has always dreamed of doing. So why would you be sad? And especially in a market of Boston sports where everybody nitpicks everything that you do, and specifically what he did, I completely get it. And, you know, obviously a lot of the things that, you know, maybe had been hurting his mental health was self-inflicted from what came out of his mouth, what he was doing on the field. But at the same time, we all deal with mental struggles, and being able to really understand that and being able to root for a guy that him as a human being is able to be happy, you know, take the athlete part out of it, just that he's able to be happy and wake up on a daily basis and look in the mirror and love himself at the end of the day is all that really matters at the end of the day, because that's what we're all striving for. Even if you play on a baseball field or if you talk into a microphone like Lauren and I do, we're all trying to get to that point. And so I think that's why you and I continue to talk about this conversation and try and raise awareness about it, because the more that we talk about it, the less that there's a stigma.
Yeah, 100%. And we've talked about this, how that we understand that if it's hard to separate, you know, the athlete from the human. People forget that athletes are human beings because they're paid millions of dollars. They're paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're paid to entertain fans. And that's pressure. That's a lot of pressure on them as it is. But because they have all this access to money or they have a successful career doesn't mean that they're immune to mental health struggles. And did Jaren Duran deserve every bit of criticism that he got for his play, for the way he acted? Yes, 100%. Does he deserve to be dragged because he's trying to open up about his struggles? No, he doesn't. Like, we can have empathy for Jaren Duran, the person, and criticism for Jaren Duran, the athlete. It's, you know, it's separate. It's always going to be separate. And we need to be able to always separate human from athlete, hold them accountable, criticize them when it's needed, but don't try to drag someone down when they're trying to open up about struggles. There were parts where I'm like, he sounds like he's just trying to make excuses, but that doesn't mean he's not struggling. Like, he's still opening up about what he's going through. And if he's not even talking to his teammates or his family, you know that this is something that he's probably been struggling with for more than just the time he's been with the Red Sox, probably for most of his life.
And I think the perfect way to end this is, you know, if you're struggling at all, and, you know, try and find those people around you that you can talk to about this, and, you know, try and open up, because the worst thing that you can do is keep it in your mind and think that you're the only one who can fix it. Because at the end of the day, there's people who care about you. There's people who love you and want you to be happy at the end of the day. So I think that's the perfect way to end this episode. But as always, we greatly appreciate everybody tuning into the Locked On Red Sox podcast and for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Now make your second listen and go out and check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview of 2022. It's an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, and all combining into one ultimate NFL preview. So search the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure to follow us over on Twitter. It's @LO_RedSox. Myself on Twitter, it's @JakeGiggy. As well as Lauren. It's La La La, three laws, Lauren with four R's. But we greatly appreciate everybody tuning in. As always, we hope that you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll end it how we always end it. Let's go Sox. Peace.